Before we start, I'd like to ask our chaplain to say prayers to start with. Thank you. Do you want the microphone?
Okay. We pray for the district of Rydale, for all who live and work here. We pray for councillors and aldermen, and for all who bear responsibility for ordering our common life. We pray for the nations of the world, for peace, stability and concord. For Elizabeth our Queen, for Parliament, and for all who work for the maintenance of civil order. We pray for those who work with our children and young people in education and recreation, and for a vision of community which inspires our labours. We pray for all who are in need, and all who care for them, for refugees among us, for those without shelter or work. We commend to God all who are sick, lonely and despairing, the aged and the distressed, and all who suffer through crime, exploitation or neglect. Generous God, your Son, Jesus Christ, has shown us the way of service and commitment to others. Enable us always to be aware of the needs of others and to respond generously and effectively. And we make this prayer through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated. Before I start, I'll give the usual emergency evacuation procedure. For those of you towards the back of the room, through the door you entered. For those of you to the front and left, through the door here. Toilets and water is available by the entrance foyer. If you could switch your mobile phones or anything else that might cause a noise, switch to off, please. May we have the apologies for this afternoon's meeting. Thank you. Thank you. Fellow councillors, honorary aldermen, ladies and gentlemen, Section 249 of the Local Government Act 1972 gives authority for the District Council at this specially convened meeting to confer the title of honorary aldermen to three former councillors who, in the opinion of Council, have rendered eminent service to the community. Mrs. Elizabeth Lewis Shields, Mr. Brian Maud, Mr. Charles Robert Wainwright, have distinguished themselves by satisfying that criteria. Accordingly, this special meeting has been convened for the express purpose for which I have just outlined. I welcome the families and friends of our former councillors, our friends, to witness this historic occasion, and it is my privilege and delight to preside at this ceremony. I would like to take this opportunity of thanking their families and friends for their support over the years, enabling our councillors to properly carry out their public duties. I consider that the ceremony we are about to perform is of great importance. It is an honour that has been earned and cannot be bought. Rydale's policy requires a minimum of 15 years of service as a councillor, which means successfully contesting at least four district council elections. This ceremony is rarely conducted, and I feel greatly honoured to have the privilege of being chairman at this particular time. To start the ceremony, Councillor Keel, please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, honorary aldermen, it gives me great pleasure to start this afternoon's proceedings by proposing Mrs. Elizabeth Shields to become an honorary alderman of Rydale District Council. I haven't known Elizabeth for as long as some of the people in this room this afternoon, but it's been quite a few years now, and hopefully she will accept a few words from me about her long and distinguished career in politics. Elizabeth joined the Liberal Party in 1964, way before we became the Liberal Democrats, when she was living and teaching in Winchester. She rapidly became an enthusiastic member of the party and combined her passion for politics and teaching by representing us at the annual Teachers' Conference in Scarborough in 1978. The following year, she took her first big step into national politics by contesting the Howden constituency in the 1979 general election. At this early stage in her political career, Elizabeth's ambition always lay in getting to Westminster. And when, I understand, she was first approached to stand for this district council for Rydale by someone who is actually here this afternoon, I'm pleased to see, Charles, her response was, so I'm told, just a little bit lukewarm, as she had her mind set on the bigger picture. She did, however, agree to stand in that by-election in Norton in 1980, and she won. After the constituency boundary changes in 1983, Elizabeth stood again in the general election in the Rydale constituency, coming a sound second. And then, in 1986, following the death of John Spence MP, a by-election was held, and Elizabeth was elected Liberal MP for Rydale. Howard and I weren't involved in politics at that time in Rydale, but I'm told by several people that there were some very serious celebrations held at the Green Man in Moulton, well into the early hours of the night. And I'll perhaps leave others here this afternoon to tell those tales over tea later on. Elizabeth's election as an MP was just one of a number of firsts that we celebrate here this afternoon. She was the first Liberal woman to win a by-election, and she became only the 26th woman at Westminster. In researching for these few words today, I looked up Elizabeth's maiden speech at Westminster, which makes very interesting reading, and actually is quite pertinent today as well. So I just wanted to give you a short extract from that. This Mother of Parliaments has seen many fine sons of all shades of political opinion grace this hallowed chamber, not least, of course, those who have sat on the Liberal benches. But the number of her daughters is far too few for the continuing health of the nation. A balance between the sexes is both desirable and necessary, and I trust in the not-too-distant future there will be a greater representation on all benches of this House of the nationwide majority. I take special pride in being the first Liberal lady member elected since 1951, and only the fifth in the history of my party, the last being the daughter of David Lloyd George. I believe that some of the values and sensitivity that women can bring to public life are unfortunately absent from politics today. Now, when I read that, I thought, yes, that sums Elizabeth up very well, but I also think it's something that's quite pertinent today as well. Things have changed at Westminster, but I suspect Elizabeth might agree with me that there's still not enough women. Another first that I just wanted to mention, that Elizabeth was honoured by her university, UCL, as one of only seven students at that time to become an MP, and the very first female MP from UCL. Not only has Elizabeth served the people of Norton for 39 years on this council, winning 10 successive elections, and to be honest, I think that deserves a round of applause in itself, 10 elections. She also contested and won a county council seat in 2013. Lindsay's going to say a little bit more about that and Elizabeth's time at the county council and her lasting legacy. But I just want to offer the thanks of people in Norton for the huge debt that we owe to Elizabeth, for her relentless hard work representing them for so many years, and ask everyone here to recognise the dedicated work she has done in this community. I also want to thank Elizabeth on a personal level, as if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be standing here today. After Howard and I ran a successful campaign for a flood alleviation scheme locally, we received a phone call from Elizabeth asking if we were interested in getting involved with the Liberal Democrats in Rydale. And the rest, as they say, is history. I'm still here. If I'm absolutely honest, Elizabeth, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, when I first joined the council with you as the leader of the Liberal Democrats, I found you just a little bit scary. I hope you don't mind me saying that. But I also wanted to make the point that, as did some of the officers of this council at that time, when you corrected their spelling and grammar in their reports to council. But I could not have had a better teacher in terms of passion for politics and campaigning. Nor can I thank you enough for the number of days you have turned out, sometimes in absolutely dreadful weather, to support me personally on the campaign trail, as well as every other Liberal Democrat candidate who has stood for the party in Rydal. When election fever hits, Elizabeth is there. She's always there. I'm sure there are many other people here today who will also have great stories to tell about Elizabeth's long and distinguished career in both local and national politics. And I'll leave that to them over tea later on. But for now, I just want to say a huge thank you to Elizabeth and to repeat that pursuant to the provisions of Section 249 of the Local Government Act 1972, the title of Honorary Alderman of Rydal District Council be conferred upon Elizabeth Lois Shields in recognition of her eminent service rendered by her as a councillor of Rydal District Council from 1980 to 2019. Thank you.
Councillor Keel, thank you very much. Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Councillor Shields. I'm honoured and privileged to second the motion that former Councillor Mrs. Elizabeth Shields be made an honorary alderman today. I have personally known Elizabeth for a very long time and know that politics has been a huge part of her life. Aside, that is, from cats and her beloved Arsenal. Elizabeth first became a councillor on Rydal District Council in 1980, and she has served residents of Norton East for 39 years, which is an amazing feat. She has made huge improvements to countless people's lives. She has also been a strong campaigner, striving to provide better facilities in the area. Recently, if not for Elizabeth's foresight and tenacity, Norton Library would not be thriving as it is today, all due to Elizabeth's refusal to let the library be closed. Whilst Elizabeth has been a councillor, she has won, has been pointed out, 10 successive elections, which is absolutely fantastic. From someone who does a little bit of electioneering, that is amazing. I can tell you that firsthand, Elizabeth loves campaigning, loves talking to people on the doorstep, and politely refusing that cup of tea when you are asked in to have a little chat, which sometimes lasts for an hour. Elizabeth is also known for becoming the area's MP. She is proud to have overturned a 16,000 majority to a 5,000 majority in 1986. And as has been said, she became the first Lib Dem female to win a by-election and the 26th woman in Parliament. Another huge achievement, Elizabeth. I know Elizabeth was hugely proud and she really enjoyed her time as MP. She has many, many humorous tales to tell regarding her time at Westminster. In 1989, Elizabeth returned to Rydal to become chairman of this council, and in that time raised over £4,000 for motor neuron disease. Elizabeth then, in 2013, stood to become a county councillor and was delighted, and so was I, when we both got elected as county councillors together with good majorities. Together, we represented Norton and Moulton divisions, and Elizabeth was immediately asked to be chairman of the Young, Children's and People's Committee in North Allerton. I know she thoroughly enjoyed her time at North Allerton as a county councillor. Whilst on Rydale District Council, Elizabeth chaired many, many committees, and very well, may I add. She chaired ONS and planning, and she was a very fair chairman and gave everyone an equal chance to air their views. She was very well respected in the chamber and keeps in touch now with councillors from other political parties. However, in debate, Elizabeth would strongly but articulately put her point of view across and often got support from all political parties. In 2017, Norton Town Council recognised this great achievement and gave Elizabeth Freedom of Norton on Derwent. So, to sum up, as we say in the council chamber, it's very fitting to bestow this honour on Elizabeth, who is a personal friend of mine and who has served on Rydale District Council for 39 years. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the motion has been moved and seconded. Current members of council, please vote by a show of hands. All in favour? Any against? That is carried unanimously. Honorary Alderman, Mrs. Elizabeth Shields, please step forward.
Well, what can I say to the two people who have just made these fantastic speeches about me? And bits I just actually didn't remember from the maiden speech I had all those years ago. Very interesting, though. Still true today, as you said, Ty. Thank you, Chairman and councillors, for supporting me in this way. I need to thank everybody else who is here. You've come some a long way away, and my own personal guests, many from North Yorkshire, but also my niece and her husband who've come from London, and my godson who's come from Bedford. Very glad to see everybody and hope to talk to everybody after the proceedings are finished. Now, this word, alderman, is a medieval word, that's what everybody knows. It was really began with an E because it meant the elder men of the city. And if I take York as a good example, and some of you here will know all about this, the elder men were really the senior experts on the council. They were elected from the council itself. There were about 50 at the time. And they had been mostly merchants, one or two lawyers, but mostly they were merchants, trading with the Hants between Scandinavia and Calais. And also they had been holding offices, possibly as sheriff or chancellor, for the City of York, which at that time was actually called the City and County of York. It was much bigger than even the large city that York is today. And so they had certain responsibilities. Elected 12 of them, just 12. They had two things that they could do. One of them was when the sovereign of the time, usually a king, wanted to have some money, either to build a special new palace somewhere in England, or alternatively, preferably, usually, to have money to go to war and fight one of the two opposition countries, Scotland or France. Sometimes when I think of football matches and rugby matches, it seems to me that war's still going on, but only just on a lower level. Anyway, they could do this, and the aldermen had, in fact, the 12 of them, to name somebody who had to go to London to meet the king and see how much money he wanted from York. There were just 12 of them. And they nominated the one person to go. Now, chief executive, how would it be if the alderman of Rydale today could just choose your MP by the 12 aldermen? I'm sure there are 12 of us somewhere. Instead of all the work you'll have to do, and Simon beside you will have to do, getting out all those ballot papers, doing all those little villages with making sure there were people there, getting up about 5 o'clock in the morning and going on until about midnight in order to make sure that everybody got a chance to vote. Much simpler. Well, it was in those days. And then secondly, they had the opportunity of administering justice, not necessarily in the courts. They could deal with various things outside the courts. And there was one alderman I found in my medieval records who had got two men brought before him. They had been at the local alehouse, and some of the words they had used to each other had led, of course, further to sort of fisticuffs and a general brawl. Nothing more, I suppose, uncommon really today in some ways. But the words they used, and I won't quote all the medieval words, they're really quite strong. One was, they call each other a midding knight, M-Y-D-D-I-N-G. I'm not going into the meaning of it, but it was really quite rude anyhow, at least. And so the alderman said to these two men, right, you have a choice. You can either go to jail, or you can actually listen to me and do two things I want you to do. And so he said, first of all, you are each of you, in spite of what you've said and done to each other, you're going to apologise to each other, first of all. And when they did, doesn't recall they didn't. And then secondly, you are going to promise me you'll be on your best behaviour, both in this alehouse, which perhaps you might ought to avoid, but otherwise, anywhere in the city. And if you don't do these two things, you're going down to the jail just down the road there. And, of course, they didn't even have TV in those days, so it would have been pretty awful. So they promise. And as I was reading this, I thought, I had a little vision. I thought, as an alderman, I would like to go to a certain palace and stand in a stranger's gallery and look down upon the House of Commons with the government on one side and the opposition on the other and say to them, when I got hush, of course, from the speaker, I would say to them, right, you have been using unparliamentary language. You have incensed people with insults. And you haven't been listening when one member, any one member, wanted to speak. It has got to stop. And so all of you, government side and opposition, are now going to apologise to each other for doing this and stop it. And secondly, you're going to promise me, as an alderman, that you, in fact, will be on your best behaviour. But I'm going to use the two words, quite simple, that the original alderman actually used. He said you have to be of good demeanour. Good demeanour. That word covers a multitude of sins and shut them up. Anyhow, they didn't go to prison. Not on that occasion, anyhow, and so off they went. Well, to bring you back from the chamber of the House of Commons, to this one here. During the 4 decades, I have had the pleasure of representing Norton-on-Derwent. I have seen many changes, inevitably. A lot of the changes have been good, and some of them have not been so good. And so, as an alderman now, I would like to try and do something positive. I would like to be in touch with all the aldermen who are around here. I'm sure Jane, where's Jane? Jane will find them for me. Jane is the backbone, you have to know. She arrived just shortly after I did in the council, so she knows all the people here. So, therefore, I would like to have an informal and non-political meeting with other aldermen to see whether we can produce something which is of betterment for the council and for the councillors, but also, more especially, for the benefit of the people whom you all represent, and we as aldermen also represent on this council. And so I hope we can achieve that. And I thank you, therefore, again, Chairman, councillors, all of you, Di and Lindsay, for the kind words they have said. And thank you very much for bestowing on me this day this honorary status. Thank you again.
Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members. Thank you, Mrs. Shields. Alderman Shields, beg your pardon. Something we're going to have to get used to. I have the pleasure, honour and privilege to propose that Councillor Brian Moore be made an alderman today. And that indeed fits me with good demeanour to do so. I've known Brian for over 20 years on this council. He's a dedicated councillor to his ward, a farmer, and an advocate for the farming community also, and a hard-working man and a quiet man. Unless roused by issues that's close to his heart, and he then digs in with determination to find a resolution and a suitable outcome. I've seen him do that. So he's been here a long time indeed. And so it's an honour and privilege to make this nomination. I've said he was quiet, but he didn't do debate across the floor, particularly, unlike myself. And we were next door neighbours in geographic terms where our communities were situated. And he rang me up once with a constituent of mine. I called him up with an issue that he solved during the phone call. And then he rang me up to tell me what he'd done and asked, did I mind? Well, not a problem for me. I have a happy constituent who's also happy. And Brian's happy, I didn't do a thing about it in any way, shape or form. And so all three of us are happy. That's the sort of chap he is. I must also tell you, as a quirky sense of humour. He's a very bad joke teller, though, because he always starts laughing at the punchline immediately before he tries to deliver it. Usually the jokes are funny enough to laugh at. As I say, he's a family man who's supported by Sue and his three boys, all grown up now and doing their own things in various locations around the world and in this country. He was made chairman of this council for the term 2003 and 4. And I remember Brian had his calmness and wit during the meetings that Brian hosted. Brian started his journey to council via the village youth club, though. Well, that's a long way back, a long time, in the 1960s. And speaking with him not so long ago, he reckons he's had over 300 young people pass through while he was in that role of being a youth club leader. Well worth it, so far as he's concerned. he has related a story to me of an occasion when a young lad brought some liquid with him in a bottle because they sold soft drinks in the youth club. Only this wasn't soft drink, it was in the bottle. And when he was end of the evening and looking around and checking everybody had left, found said youth lying on the floor in the toilet, sparked out. So being the guy he is, picked him up, put him in his car and drove him home because he knew who he was and where he lived. And made sure that he went into the house after he dropped him off. The very next day, Brian was down at the youth club again, tidying up. And this young gentleman came in and says, "Can I help?" So Brian suspected something not quite fair here, so he asked him what he was there for and to do. And his parents had come home and found him sparked out on the kitchen floor where he collapsed after he got in. And they'd made him come down and apologise and help. His fame preceded him round this village. So he didn't need to go canvassing, but I know he did. And having so many years been involved with Rillington Cricket Club as well, stood him in good stead. He was club secretary, in the 1960s and 70s. It tells me that the team at that time achieved quite a number of cups over the years. And as he puts this down to the best years of his life, not here on this council, but doing cricket. He was also saying that being the secretary isn't the august position that most people think it is, that you have to go and chase people up for the subs. And being Yorkshireman, not many like to pay subs, do we? He was nominated to be a candidate for council after a sitting member decided to call it a day and a by-election was called. And that's when he first got elected onto this council in 1985. His first votes were 34 votes for his opponent and 711 for himself. Wish I could get those sort of figures today. And I think there's a goodly number of members in here would like those sort of figures as well, especially the majority. I can't remember in recent times that Brian's ever been challenged for an opponent to that seat. He told me he did have one, and that was the one that he's referring to, and the next year there was one more, but not one since. So it had been 19 years or so without anybody challenging him, which is remarkable. He's respected. That's the key. He didn't need to go and do a great deal of work and pound the streets because people liked him because of who he was and how he was. And it's a testament to himself that he has that such character to himself. So, the formal bit is that pursuant to the provisions of Section 249 of the Local Government Act 1972, the title of Honorary Alderman of Rydale District Council be referred upon Brian Maud, and I so move. Thank you.
Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Good afternoon, everybody. I am very pleased to second the nomination to make Brian an honorary alderman of this council. And forgive me if I repeat some of the things you've already heard. Brian has completed 24 years service with Rydale District Council. Although it wasn't continuous service, it was nevertheless very much valued by his community and his peers. During the latter period, Brian reached the lofty heights of Chairman of Council, a role I know he much enjoyed. Brian's lived most of his life in Rillington and was an active leader in the local youth groups, working with some 300 young people. It was Brian's father who actively encouraged Brian to engage in local politics, despite Brian never having been to even a parish council meeting. So with a healthy contribution to his election expenses from his father, Brian first stood for Rillington Ward in 1985 as an independent councillor. He stood against one other candidate, and out of the 745 votes cast, Brian clinched the seat with 711 of those votes. And Brian has remained an unopposed candidate until he was challenged by Jim Robinson, and of course Brian prevailed. Very unfortunate family circumstances meant Brian had to step back from councillor duties for some 10 years, but conscientious to the last, Brian returned in 1999 and has served continuously for 20 years until retiring in May. Brian served his community faithfully. He always believed there should be no place for party politics as a councillor, and debate should be about the issues. An early piece of advice given to Brian was, the dignity of the council is more important than the politics, and Brian has always conducted himself with this piece of advice in mind. A few high spots for Brian was meeting Harold Wilson and William Hague, who both attended the civic dinners of their day, something that we don't do today. Brian very much believed in service to and for the community he so diligently represented. And it's the sentiment I can both wholeheartedly endorse and adopt. And I'm very proud to recommend and second the motion to this council that the title of Honorary Alderman be confirmed on our retired councillor, Brian Maud. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the motion has been moved and seconded. Current councillors, please show by a show of hands, all in favour. Any against? The motion is carried. Honorary Alderman Brian Maud, please come forward.
Very much. Thank you, Chairman. Well, I've got to say something in response to that. Yeah, I think I've told them too much to stole all my thunder, but not quite. Right. So, I am indeed honoured to be conferred with the title of Honorary Alderman. Thank you to Mr. Goodrich and Councillor Raper for those kind words. I would also like to thank those who have given me help and support, and this includes all the staff of Rydale House who have served the council during my time here, especially Jane Graham, a true stalwart there to give advice and information at all times, and always there to help out. Thank you very much, Jane. I'm deeply indebted to you. I also thank Sue, my wife, who has supported me throughout our 53 years of married life, but she still keeps her young looks. Behind every good man is a good woman. We met at Rillington Young Farmers Club, where the motto was good farmer, good countryman, and good citizen. I've tried to live that role. I've always been involved in the social side of village life, a member of the church choir, and for 8 years secretary and treasurer of the cricket club, and then was involved with the village youth club for 9 years. I got to know 300 young people in the area. That way they didn't really all pass through our youth club, just we had monthly discos in the winter time, and they were attended by, they could only come if I had their names, addresses and telephone numbers, and I had 300 of these names. So if there's, when they first started coming, they would come to Rillington, lose their identity, think they could just do what they liked, nobody would know they were, so I made that rule that they had to give the name address and telephone number. And on several occasions I had to help them up. We didn't allow alcohol in the place. Some kids would bring mixed drinks in soda stream bottles. And there was always a team of seven of us at a disco. Two ladies looking after the refreshments. And any kid who I thought was under the weather was not turned away. They're very vulnerable at that stage. You've got to look after them. And so the ladies behind the canteen area selling the refreshments, they looked after them until it was time to go home. And I would take them home to various places in Malton and Norton. So I've got no more way around the area. And I've always loved kids. They were great. And I eventually became the chairman of Norton Leaders Council. And I have a lot of time for kids. They have a particular role to play in life. They are our future, and we should sort of pay more time with them. There's too much vandalism going on these days because they don't feel valued by the community, and they are a great value. We should treasure them more than we do. So I still think those were the best years of my life involved with the youth. With the youth of the area, and for the last 20 years I've been and still am a serving member of Malton and Norton Lions. I was first elected to the council at a by-election, and at that time I had not even attended a parish council meeting, knew nothing about Rydale District, who the chief executive was, or even who was chairman. And actually, yes, I was helped with my expenses. My dad didn't contribute anything towards that. He did give me some encouragement, but the retiring member who nominated me, he was a chap from Settington, and two others from Settington each contributed £25 towards my expenses, which was fully declared and legal, so that was okay. And I don't know how that probably wouldn't have got on without that, but it was a great help. However, I was told that being a councillor was an honourable position, because each member was chosen to represent their community, and as such was respected in their own areas. And party politics only played a minor role in the council and my life. I know Elizabeth doesn't agree with that, but the most important thing, I was told, was keeping the dignity of the council, and that each member should treat officers and fellow members with due respect. I met many interesting people since joining the council, and Councillor Mrs. Shields, she is the only remaining councillor from that time, and there are no remaining staff, although Paul Andrews did become the council solicitor during my earlier days. There have been memorable occasions, a visit to Filingdale's early warning station and venturing into one of the symbolic golf balls and seeing the radar arm sweeping backwards and forwards. Another was during my first year, the former councillor Mick Bradley was chairman, and his guest speaker at the annual dinner was Harold Wilson, as said before. But he was a previous Harold Wilson, but he was now known as Lord Wilson of Revo. Sue, my wife, her maiden name was Rivis, and that's the local name for Revo. So asked what his connection was to Revo. He said, no connection, I just like the place, and I like the name. He said, once you become a lord, you can choose any title you like, any name you like. But that's what he chose. But he said his lifelong love had been Huddersfield Football Club, and carried his membership card with him wherever he went. He said when he went to see the Russian leader, Leonid Brezhnev, who had no English, and Harold had no Russian, he tried to strike a common ground and showed the Russian leader his membership card to explain his love of football. However, Brezhnev took the card and wrote his name on it. Sacrilege! He then showed the face card and finished by saying, after that, I never had anything else to do with the Russians. the only regret I've had, one of the regrets I've had several actually, being on the council, I thought of two tonight. The one I put down here was that it's stuck in my mind a long time. I do regret agreeing to the closure of the toilets on Winter Street. And I was so relieved when that decision was overturned some time later. But my other regrets are that I've been on the council all this time and we've got more houses built in Rillington than we wanted. And as for on-street parking, it's absolutely ridiculous. So, it does a bad reflection on me. And I just hope people don't realise that it's my fault. It's not. And I've also had embarrassing times. One sticks in my mind, and it was on an occasion when I was chairing a parish liaison meeting. I looked around those present, expecting to see many faces that I knew, but there were none. So I told everyone that when asking a question, please stand, give your name, and say which parish you are representing. Whilst the first question was being answered, a gentleman came in, sat on the front row, and at the first opportunity, this man stood up and said, I want to know. And I said, excuse me, you missed the introduction. I have asked everyone to stand, introduce themselves, and say which parish they represent. And perhaps I was the only one there not to recognise Lord Feversham of Helmsley. But however, throughout my time on the council, I have given my best judgment and supported what I have believed to be best for the people I represented and for Rydale Council. I have also met a lot of good people I now regard as friends. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Councillor Arnold.
It gives me great pleasure in proposing that the title Honorary Alban be conferred upon Charles Robert Wainwright today. Robert served as a Rydale District Council representing the Hovingham ward for 24 years. He was first elected in 1995 and stood down at the 2019 elections. He was leader of the independent group and was very well respected and much liked as a member of the council by his fellow councillors and council staff. He has had many roles on the council, but most of all, he's always represented Hovingham and cared deeply about the village and its community. In his time, he's been chairman of the Direct Services Organisation Board, which I've never heard of, chairman of the Policy and Resources Committee, chairman of the Overroom Scrutiny Committee, and also a member of the Hawardian Hills Joint Advisory Committee. In May 2001, he was elected by his fellow councillors to be chairman of the council, a role in which his wife Sue supported him as his consort. He also has been a member of Hovingham Parish Council for over 40 years and was a past chairman. I believe we owe him a huge vote of thanks for all the work he has done for this council and the community. Robert is a true gentleman and a pillar of the community. And therefore, pursuant of the provisions of Section 249 of the Local Government Act 1972, the title of Honorary Alban of Rydale District Council be conferred upon Charles Robert Wainwright in recognition of the eminent service redeemed by him as a councillor of Rydale District Council from 1995 to 2019. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, for reasons that will become obvious later, I'm wearing the number 16 jersey this afternoon. However, it is a beautiful surprise and a great privilege, Robert, to second the motion that you be conferred an honorary alderman. Not only a great privilege to confer to be involved in this, but in that, Robert, I've known you the longest of, I think, anybody in this room. I think I've calculated it 37 years. Whilst I was a student working part-time in the holidays in Moulton Mart, I was introduced to you. You probably won't remember, but we were introduced, and this is Robert Wainwright from Hovingham, and afterwards I was told, he's a good sort. He will always help you. And that, Robert, has been absolutely true ever since, not only in my professional work, but in Moulton Show, which you also have been greatly involved with, and I was privileged to follow you in a small way in your footsteps. So, as I said, it's not a prepared speech, but it's no less heartfelt. My experience of you as an elected member at Rydale is one of firm but fair debate, always speaking your mind, and a great participation in debate, which young councillors could do well to follow. So without further ado, I second this motion. Robert, would you... Honorary Alderman, Councillor Robert Wainwright, please step forward. The motion has been moved and seconded. Current members, please vote by a show of hands now. And any against? The motion has been passed and seconded. Robert. Honorary Alderman Wainwright.
So, Chairman, Honorary Alderman, councillors, family and friends, and officers of the council. Thank you, Steve, for those kind words. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to have been involved with Rydale District Council for the past 24 years and to have had the opportunity to work with so many different and helpful members and officers of the council. I like to think that I come from a line of like-minded relations who have been part of the different levels of the political world. One of my guests, Cousin John, he was a member of the Rural District Council and Hapton Parish Council. My cousin Stephen Prest was a member of Slingsby Parish Council and its past chairman. My father was also on the Rural District Council and was the chairman of Hovingham Parish Council for a number of years. The interesting connection is my grandfather, George Wainwright, who was born in 1870 in Halifax and lived all his life in the West Riding of Yorkshire. When he started work, he worked for the co-op. In the early 1890s, he and another co-op employee, Mr. Turner, formed a company producing toffees and sweets. These were mainly sold on market stalls in the local towns and villages and were very popular and in great demand. By the 1900s, the company, which was then called Turner and Wainwright, was producing over 60 tons of toffees a week, and they had a turnover of £100,000 a year. Those of you with Google will be able to work that out what it's worth now. In the 1920s, Mr. Turner and my grandfather had a differing opinion on the future direction of the company, and my grandfather left the company after being bought out by the Turner family. By this time, grandfather was a councillor on Brighouse Town Council, and then the Elland Urban Council. He represented the district on the County Council from 1918 to 1925. He had become a JP, a staunch Methodist, and politically a member of the Liberal Party. And I'm sure Councillor Clark, had he been here, would have had a wry smile on his face. His wealth allowed him to indulge in projects of a philanthropic nature. He owned a substantial property in Ellenroyd, which he gave to the council to be used as a library. A large area of land he owned was given to be used as a playing field for the South End Primary School in Elland. The library is now used as a clinic by the NHS, and sadly the school has been demolished and is now a supermarket. One of the items I've inherited is a small key. Present it to my grandfather. The description reads, presented to George Wainwright Esquire, JP, by the members of Elland Urban District Council on the occasion of his opening of the new library, Ellenroyd, and that's dated November the 13th, 1926. So I've been on the Hovingham Parish Council for the past 40 years, its past chairman. In 1991, I stood against Bob Smith in the Hovingham ward for this district council. In 1995, Bob Smith retired as a council, and I stood once again. And this time, I was fortunate to be elected. Councillor Charles Hall, sitting in the back, was the chairman at the time. And another fellow councillor at that time was Daphne Stead, Honorary Alderman. Daphne was part of the chain gang in Mayu when I was the chairman of the council, when she supported Jeff Rennie when he was chairman of North Yorkshire County Council. I've been very fortunate in my roles on the council. I was chairman of the DSO board, Direct Services Board, until it was disbanded. And I don't think that was my fault. I'm sure it wasn't my fault. Chairman of PNR from 2006 and 2011. Then chairman of the Overeun Scrutiny from 2012 to 2015. For most of my years on the council, I served as the council's representative on the Howarding Hills of Outstanding Natural Beauty and had two terms as its chairman. So, thanks to my family and friends who've supported me. Thanks to my fellow councillors over these years. Thanks to all the staff at Rydell House, who've always been very helpful. Thanks, of course, to Sue. She always believed that here, Rydell House is my home. And I would return back to Hall Farm, Hovingham, to find somewhere to eat and sleep. So, thank you very much indeed, Chairman. And, thank you.
Fellow councillors, honorary aldermen, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the ceremony for the conferment of the title of honorary alderman. I welcome Elizabeth, Brian and Robert to the very special group of honorary aldermen who have appointed by this council and are not given lightly. We look forward to seeing you in your new capacity in the future. I declare this meeting is now closed and would like to invite recipients, guests, honorary aldermen, members and officers to join me for afternoon tea in meeting room 1.